worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Are you on with me, Dad?
I am here, Austin. Thank you so much for taking over for me for the last few weeks.
Oh, absolutely. How's everything going out there in Montana? I know you said you guys were probably about to start heading home. I know they're having some wildfires. Let me know what's going on there.
My sinuses are going nuts. I don't know what to do here. This place is just on fire. The chemtrails are so bad here in Wyoming and in Montana, they've soaked the entire forest down with aluminum, which burns at over 1,000 degrees. The forest fires are impossible to put out. Last night, we decided to do a dusk tour of Yellowstone when all the animals were out to see the herds of elk and the herds of deer and the herds of buffalo, bison. And the first time we went there, well, I went there, was back in the 70s, and there were literally just thousands of bisons and, you know, and elk and deer and moose. Not thousands of moose. Moose have always been rare. But just, I mean, it was ridiculous. Herds. And, of course, about 20 years or so ago, they released the wolves into Yellowstone. And they're an apex predator. They really have no other predator that can deal with them except for black bears or probably grizzlies. And so they've taken over. They've completely devastated the wildlife. I remember just a few months ago I was talking about how they have reduced the population of elk by almost 90%. And that's exactly what I saw yesterday. We saw about 6 elk. We did the entire loop in the Yellowstone. I mean, the entire loop, like a 100-mile loop. Did the whole loop. Saw 6 elk, saw about 6 buffalo, saw only 1 deer, saw no moose at all, saw a couple trumpeter swans. What used to be an incredible zoo that we called Yellowstone, where you'd see thousands of animals, I couldn't find yesterday. Now, there was a fire way south by Flag Ranch on the south entrance, and there was a fire way west on the west entrance in the very part of the park. And the entire mountainsides were burning. We have videos of that. And of course, they don't really burn things in national, or they don't try to put out any fires in national parks. They just let them burn. So it was interesting. So I don't know if it's the fires, which could have some factor on this, or if it's the predation of the wolves that have destroyed this once beautiful, beautiful land. The problem that you run into is this. At one time, there was a natural balance in the ecosystem here. Now, I believe in natural selection. I don't believe in evolution. There's a big, big difference. Natural selection means basically that the smarter of the deer who are bred can avoid the wolves or avoid the predators. They're allowed to breed, and they create smarter offspring. I believe in that. That's natural selection. Evolution says that basically entire species change based upon genetic change and adaptation. I don't believe in that. I mean, that's nonsense. I could give you complete statistics on why I don't believe in that, but it doesn't make any difference. But what happened is the wolves used to be in balance out here hundreds and hundreds of years ago, but the wolves are an apex predator, so they eat a lot and they kill for sport. The deer and the moose and the buffalo all knew what wolves were. They've been bred that the smarter the elk, more wolves they stayed away from. And with a couple hundred years ago, wolves were put on the bounty list out here and were basically taken out by early settlers. And so for hundreds of years now, the normal livestock out here, the range of animals here, have not had to deal with an additional apex predator into the food supply chain that basically kills for sport. And now these wolves have been reintroduced, especially the Canadian wolves, because they were pulled and caught in the wild. So they weren't tame wolves. They were caught in the wild. They were out there killing whatever they could find in Canada. And they were put into the national park by the stinking tree huggers years ago. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm a great conservationist. I believe we need to take care of God's planet. But I also believe that you can't just play God and introduce Zika-like mosquitoes that have been artificially altered into the food supply or into the ecosystem in Miami. And now they're spraying the spray all over Florida. They're planning on spraying it in Pinellas County now, which is going to be another replay of the whole Malathion episode they did to us back in the 90s. So what they've done basically is introduced a predator into the environment that these animals from natural selection are no longer able to cope with. Now someday it'll probably be okay. The balance may be reestablished, but it's going to be very, very difficult. Now, one thing I want to share with you guys is this. Every time these liberals, these tree huggers, these whack nuts, okay, get involved with people, it messes things up. When they get involved in the schools, it messes them up. We get Common Core. When they get involved in the government, it messes things up. We get communism or socialism. when they get involved with people's sexual preferences, we end up with transhumanism, and we end up doing transhumanism too, and it's transgenderism. Everything they touch, they destroy, because they're all part of the Sabbatean movement, willingly or unwillingly, that's going to turn the entire planet upside down. We now are outside of Teton National Park. You can't even see the Teton Mountains except for a silhouette against the sky. They're so obscured in smoke. And Jackson Hole, or Jackson, Wyoming, where we are right now, the air quality is pretty bad. I'm sniffling a little bit because of all the smoke we've been breathing the last couple of days. So the entire introduction of these chemtrails into the ecosystem, this barium and aluminum spray they're putting on us, this poisonous stuff they're spraying on the southeast now because of Zika, which is a non-threat, is all based upon the transhumanist Sabbateans who want to destroy God's creation and turn everything upside down that God had created. That's the only thing that explains this. I mean, these guys basically consider themselves to be the benign Nephilim, sons of the fallen. They consider their lineage to go back all the way to Nimrod, all the way back to the Tower of Babel, all the way back to Genesis chapter 6, all the way back to Lucifer himself, and they want to turn the planet upside down to bring in a kingdom of Lucifer. Nothing else explains this, because these guys don't care about the elf, they don't care about the environment. If they did, they wouldn't be spraying us with barium and aluminum and causing these massive fires to burn so hot they're almost impossible to put out. The air quality here is horrible, and the animals are basically non-existent in the park now, so it's really sad to me, because I've seen this place when it was like driving through a zoo with all the animals walking in range like you do in Africa when you're in Kenya, and it was absolutely beautiful. So it's sad to see it go for the future generations. What do you think, Oz?
No, it really is sad, and that's what we've seen now as far as, like you said, we up in Montana, is when you start going in, you start adding in these different animals, and you start pulling out these different animals, and you start controlling what people can hunt. I completely agree with the fact that we need to have tags for certain animals. We need to have other animals that can be year-round, like hogs, that are complete and total nuisance animals down here. But when you start taking an apex predator, like you said, and you put them on a full-blown endangered list where they cannot be touched under any circumstances whatsoever, an animal that's so aggressive like this that they can take out a herd of elk in one day, that's not something that's healthy for the ecosystem and the environment at all. And I really hope a lot of these people get their heads out of the sand and realize that this is not tree-hugging, this is not conservation of the rainforest or of the Smokies or of the, you know, Glacier Park. This is about really trying to preserve what wildlife there is left up there in Yellowstone, and they really release it and let the bounties go on these guys and let, you know, open season on wolves, even if it's not all year round. If they let it run for at least 2 to 3 months a year, most of the people up there are pretty weapon proficient. They're going to take quite a few tags if that can happen. I don't know who to talk to up there, though. I mean, does anybody seem like they want to change anything, or is some of the people just completely brain dead up there?
The people who work in the national park, they're idiots, okay? Because they've been brain dead by the federal government. I'm just telling you, the ones that I talk to, I'm not saying all of them, but the ones that I talk to are idiots. I asked the one lady at the campground last night, I said, what happened to all the elk? Oh, there's plenty of elk. I said, there used to be herds of elk. They're in the woods. I said, no, they're not. They're nowhere. Their deers are gone. The elk are gone. The bison are gone. Well, there are a few of them out there. Well, they're in the woods. I'm like, okay, are you not getting what I'm saying? Where have they gone? They've never been hiding before. They were in the field. No, they're out there. That's good. They used to feed them. That's why they were closer to the road. I said, that is not even true. I said, the fields go out for miles and miles and miles. She goes, oh, no, no, no. It's fine. They're out there. You can find them. I mean, I'm talking to someone with an IQ of a 1. You know, it's ridiculous. Her IQ is lower than her shoe size. But the problem was, she was serious, Austin. She really thought she was telling me the truth, because that's the narrative. Now, same thing. Let me give you another example. They bring the Muslims into the country. Okay? They're mixing us with the Muslims. Muslims in our culture are apex predators. Now, I'm just doing an analogy here. I kind of thought about this morning when we were having our prayer time. You bring in a million Muslims. Hillary just said that if she wins the election, she's going to immediately bring in another million Muslims. She also told in her little speech, her little racist speech showing who she really is, that black boys need to be brought on her back, brought on her heel like a dog, taught how to heel. Heel, boy, heel! Okay? That's what she wants them to do. So if you're black and you're listening to the show, Hillary wants you to heel like a dog. So I personally can't believe that any black person or white person would vote for her. Hispanics and Muslims, yeah, maybe. Okay, I got that. But Hispanics that really know the truth, absolutely not. Hispanics who came here legally, who have legal jobs here, who are trying to build the American dream for themselves, they will never vote for Hillary Clinton. Period. They won't, because they know what she's going to do. Now she wants to bring another million Muslims in. Muslims are an apex predator. They're going to do the same thing to the United States they've done to Europe. They're going to destroy the culture, just like the wolves have come in here and have destroyed the culture of the elk or the buffalo. I mean, if you want to call it culture, lifestyle, whatever you want to call it. I know they're not thinking beings like we think, but they're gone, okay? They don't exist here anymore. And what's nutty about all of it is a lot of it is because of the National Rifle Association. The National Rifle Association is the strongest lobbying group in America. It's right there, even hills with the with AIPAC, the American Israeli Political Action Group. And what's interesting about the National Rifle Association, they really promote children learning how to hunt, handle rifles, shoot big game. They're huge out here in Montana. And they want to bring up a whole generation now of children that are never going to learn how to hunt, never learn how to shoot big game, never have a moose or a elk to shoot at. They're just going to be gone. And see, again, it breaks the gun culture. That's what it's designed to do. I've talked to many Montanans about that, and they feel the same way. Now I'm down in Wyoming. I've got a little bit, still got a pretty good free spirit here. Not as good as Montana. And of course, we know they've already sent the predatory wolves from California, metaphorically speaking, with the influx of people coming from that liberal state into Colorado, which has now turned into a mess. So this is what they're doing. They're setting another apex predator loose on the population of Europe until we finally have enough as mad white people. That's all I can say. I mean, gosh, that sounds racist, but it's not. Mad white people, and we have enough, and we turn them back as we did in the 1400s, and we drove them out of Europe. I mean, I don't know where else this is going to go, Austin, besides the World War, which is what they're trying to precipitate, which is what Albert Pike, the colonel, the general from World War, from the Civil War, wrote in his books, Moral of the Law, Dogma, and his letter to Mancini. He wants to have a third world war in which the Zionists and the Christians are turned against the Muslims. And this has been planned now for over 140 years, and this is where they want to take us. They want to destroy the planet from order comes chaos to bring in their new world order and their Luciferian dictatorship. That's the whole bottom line of all of this. And you say, well, it sounds like it's crazy. Dog, it sounds crazy to me, too. And if you had told me this stuff 20 years ago, I thought you were crazy. You'd be putting a little parasol and riding a little short bus. I thought, what's wrong with you? That's the problem. That's the problem, Austin. The only thing that makes sense, the only thing that explains any of this, is that analogy. That's it. There's nothing else that works. You've got to go to the fallen angel DNA. You've got to go to these whack nuts. You've got to go to these people who claim to be, you know, in contact with extraterrestrial beings, which we would call fallen angels, and how they're orchestrating Earth's affairs. So that's where we're falling into now. As we've gone into the outer limits so deep now, we're so far down the rabbit hole with Alice that Alice and us, we can't even get back out of this rabbit hole now that we know too much. And sadly, the vast majority of the population know nothing. But Hillary has been an eye-opener for almost everyone, and now they realize with her, heal, boy, heal, you're black, you need to heal. Now she's got herself in a situation where if the media will pick up this coverage and talk about this, she's going to be in a world of hurt. So I don't know. I don't know, Austin. What do you think? And we'll start on the stories.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I didn't pull that up on her. I was going to pull it up later on. I know Trump, he had said something. I was trying to go through a bunch of articles today, but I've been super busy. So I don't know exactly what she said, but yeah, it's definitely not something that's going to win friends and influence people making comments like that when you're trying to be president of the United States.
You think? Unbelievable. I can't even believe the woman could still breathe air. I mean, I mean, who the... All right, go ahead, let's go. Let's talk about something else.
Okay. Well, first one I got here, going back to the prescription drugs, I talked about this in detail last week. The spiraling cost of prescription meds from the companies called like Mylan with the EpiPens, we talked about that last week, and now we're starting to see more and more moves by highly profitable pharmaceutical companies coming out and basically just ripping off America. Last week, the Journal of American Medical Association, JAMA, published a special communication exploring the origins and effects of high drug prices in the U.S. market and policy option measures that need to be implemented immediately they've even stated, and this is the Journal of American Medical Association, they now are even addressing this and said it needs to be brought to a halt. The pharmaceutical company are completely out of control. They stated that Americans spend more on drugs than any other country, about per capita of $858 per person, which is more than double the average amount of 19 other industrialized nations. They also point to the fact that brand name pharmaceuticals account for only 10% of the drugs prescribed, yet rake in over 72% of the total amount spent. That is completely lopsided. They stated the main reasons for this imbalance are the government policies that are protecting drug companies against competition. Pharma companies like Mylan and others, which notoriously raise their prices of cancer and AIDS drugs more than 5,000% immediately after purchasing the rights to sell it. They state on here the most important factor that allows manufacturers to set high drug prices is the market exclusivity protected by monopoly rights awarded by the FDA approval and patent. The availability of generic drugs after this period is the main means of reducing prices in the U.S., but access to them is usually delayed by numerous business and legal strategies. They recommend in here main strategies for combating this problem includes revising patent exclusivity policy, ensuring wider generic drug availability, providing price negotiation options for governmental payers, and generating more evidence about cost effectiveness and having the government quit allowing the pharmaceuticals to maintain a monopoly with the FDA protection on them. And the issue, and now JAMA obviously doesn't go into any type of health aspects. My first opinion on this is, you know, healthy diet and supplements is the best way to prevent this. But if you do have a situation where you do need some type of medication, a lot of these drugs are so far out of reach now. And if you don't have health insurance, they're almost next to impossible to get, you know, financially. And if you do have health insurance, that means the health insurance companies are having to fort this bill. And that's what we're seeing now with the Obamacare guys that are completely going out of business all across the country and all these other healthcare premiums that are going up rapidly. So it's interesting to me now that JAMA is basically coming out now and blatantly calling out the pharmaceutical company because more and more people now are completely sick of what's going on and they want some change. And that is one thing that Trump has talked about multiple times is the pharmaceutical company and the monopolies that they have, literally making hundreds of billions of dollars a year. It's gotten completely out of control.
Hundreds of billions. I mean, close to a trillion. I mean, what's crazy with the pharmaceutical corporations, again, they're Rothschild control. And remember last year, we had Pastor Mike come on, and he did a whole show with us. He's from Australia, and he was the one who was talking about having to put all these people onto detox programs to get them off of drugs.
Yes.
And he was talking about how dangerous some of these psychotic drugs were. It's interesting. I got a really good email sent to me this weekend after I did the Hagman show on Friday night. Thank you guys so much for all the positive emails I got on that. And the guy said that he had ended up getting himself hooked after he had to have hand surgery with screws and pins in his hands because of the pain. And he had to go through like a rehab protocol to get off the drugs. And that he mentioned something about that when he was a guest on the Hagman show. And he said that way, but what happened is they lose with emails of people who are hooked on the opiates. I mean, hooked. And he said that if there are that many people that responded to me, how many thousands or hundreds of thousands of people who are hooked on the opiates are basically not talking about it because they're too embarrassed. I remember a few years ago, gosh, it's been longer than that, it was about 14 years ago, we had my 30th year class reunion. And I'll never forget, we had a class president who got his knee replaced a few years early. Well, right out of high school, he got his knee hurt playing football. And he ended up basically being on opiates. I'm not going to mention any names here. And when we saw him at the class reunion for the 30th reunion, he was a shadow of himself in a wheelchair. Remember, a lot of them were still in their 40s. I was like 47 years old. And he was in a wheelchair, and he was addicted to opiates. And he asked me, is there anything you can do? So I gave him a bunch of information that I had on it at that point. But the sad part about this, Austin, this is a major, major issue. And I'm going to address this on the next Hagman show. I'm actually going to put a show together on opiate addiction, natural alternatives to opiates, and what can be done to get off of these dopamine triggers once you get onto them, because this is a hard mess. I know with you and me, I mean, I keep my stuff, like I've got an open prescription for morphine that stays in the freezer because of my back surgery from years ago, And every once in a while, if I turn my back wrong or whatever, I have a hard time walking for a day, and I may take one of those. But a prescription of like 20 tablets will last me for like 4 or 5 years. I very rarely ever take those, and now I'm just very disciplined with stuff like that. But people don't realize, when they start taking the opiates, Austin, 2 or 3 days on that stuff, you start craving that mess, and you've got to be very, very careful whenever you start getting on drugs that contain an opiate derivative. What do you think about that, Oz?
Oh, absolutely. I went in detail last week on the shows by myself as far as, you know, making sure that I had to keep my mind right, especially after I got out of the hospital, because with the pericarditis, they had me on injectable morphine ampules. I mean, that was what they prescribed. That's one of those things that, you know, it's really easy to get addicted to those really fast, and you're absolutely right. You have to try and maintain as much mental stamina as you can if you are in a situation where you have to take some of those. And you have to do the best you can to take the least amount as possible and have the longest time between taking them. And, you know, it's really important because, like you said, I've known so many people. You've known so many people. It's a very, very, very addictive compound. And I think a lot of people don't take it seriously, especially first-time surgery people or first-time that are really getting exposed to something like that with extreme pain. And they work. That's what opiates do. They work very effectively what they do. And the problem is people don't take them as seriously as they should. And the massive prescription epidemic we saw the last 15, 20 years where people were literally getting, you know, OxyContin for a toothache, it got that bizarre. I mean, and that's why a lot of these doctors got shut down, because they were literally pill peddlers. They were just, people were coming in, I got another backache, I got another toothache, I need another bottle for this, I need another bottle for that. Finally, to the point now, even in our county, they've even regulated it to where you get arrested for doctor shopping, for going and getting multiple prescriptions from different doctors and filling them all in the same amount of time. There's people get arrested for that now because of how bad it's gotten and how aggressive it is. So, yes, you're absolutely right. You really have to make sure you watch those things. And if you have family members that are on them, you guys got to make sure you're monitoring them. It's your responsibility, because if they're in pain, if they've had surgery and they're using opiates, they're not going to be in 100% right frame of mind, and you have to be there with them to say, hey, you guys probably don't need another one right now. Maybe you should try and push another 12 hours or another 24 hours. And I'm not saying you need to go against doctor's orders, but what I'm saying is you need to be the voice of reasoning for a family member if they are going through something like that, and be there to support them. Don't keep them from having meds that they may need, but just make sure you're using discretion and monitoring and watching them to see how they progress and making sure that it doesn't start escalating.
Well, that's why morphine is actually a drug of choice for hospice care, because it doesn't matter. I mean, if you're dying and you're going to be dead within a few days or a few weeks, what difference does it make if you're addicted to morphine when you die? But the problem is, you've got to look at this. When you start taking this stuff, you've got to look at this like, if I have more than a few of these, I'm probably going to get addicted to this. I need to really think about this before I do this, because it's going to be a whole lot easier to avoid this right now than it is to try to get off of this later. And see, guys, that's what I've always done with drugs. I mean, whatever, but I'm not talking about drugs, so I've never used illegal drugs, but I'm talking about stuff like, you know, opiates or painkillers. I mean, I've had multiple surgeries, and I'm just really careful. I just always tell them I don't need the drugs, I don't need painkillers, I'm good. And the truth matters, if you just go someplace in your mind and you start praying and you don't move around a lot, you don't hurt that bad. It's only when you start moving, when you start feeling that inflammation, that you start feeling that pain. So guys, do yourself a favor, stay off of this stuff, and also, watch out for those methadone clinics. Austin and I did a bunch of research on the methadone a few months back, and I tell you what, that's some wicked mess, man. I thought that was a good alternative to get off the morphine. That's even worse than morphine, because the half-life is so much longer, and people OD on methadone all of the time. And, you know, we were both shocked in that, Austin. We didn't realize that. I didn't realize how addictive methadone was and how long it stayed in your system. So it was one of those things that you really need to avoid it as much as possible. And just try to go to a treatment protocol center that's not going to use methadone to come off of this stuff. I think it's going to be a lot easier. What do you think, son?
No, you're absolutely right. There's definitely, stay off the methadone. That's not a viable option now. A lot of doctors are even staying away from that as well, just because it's not something that's going to have long-term health benefits at all. And it can actually kill you, from what we found as well. It's not very healthy at all.
Okay, let's change topics. This is your... I've told you guys, a sore was a nutbag, a Rothschild stooge, a Rothschild sock puppet, and I got to give you a quote that he said. This is unbelievable. This is a quote from George Soros. He says, "I am a god. I created everything." he believes it. He says George Soros claims he is a god and the creator of everything. However, the billionaire globalist also warns that he is a self-centered god who believes normal rules do not apply to him. I fancy myself as some kind of god, he wrote. If truth be known, I carried some rather potent messianic fantasies with me from childhood, which I felt I had to control, otherwise they might get me in trouble. This guy is a Looney Tune. And of course, this is the kind of guy they're going to look for in a program sponsored by the Rothschild Banking Cartel, who's basically a psychopath, a sociopath, and he's just nuts. He thinks he can do anything he wants to do whenever he wants to do it, and sadly, he's getting away with it all. So what do you think about Soros claiming that he is a god? I mean...
Well, it just goes to show you where his frame of mind is as far as what he's steeped in. I mean, that's clearly, I mean, that's that is exactly what, you know, got Lucifer kicked out of heaven. So, I mean, this is the same, you know, the same standpoint that he's based on, which clearly shows he's around and based in Satanism, because that's what he's believing. He believes he's his own god now.
But remember, he may have a demon in him who believes he's God.
That's true.
He may be possessed by Lucifer himself.
You say that,
this stuff is so weird that when you say stuff like that, I'll get a letter. Well, he's not possessed by Lucifer. Well, how do you know he's not? I don't know he's not. This guy's a nutbag. He's bringing in millions of Muslims into Europe, wants to bring millions of Muslims here into this country, wants to turn our country upside down with Black Lives Matter. He's not possessed by anything good. He's not bad in anything. I mean, so... You know, we don't know what the guy's got in him. All I know is the guy's a nutbag. And so we just got to realize, got to keep doing what we're doing and just try to bring on our glory to God with everything that we do. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, this is interesting now. Italy has basically come out now and put massive regulations on glyphosate now. Europe has enthusiastically applauded the decision by Italy's Ministry of Health on Friday to place a number of restrictions on the use of glyphosate. Italian restriction banned the use of glyphosate in areas frequented by the public or by vulnerable groups, including children and elderly. The list of banned areas include any and all parks, gardens, courtyards, the edges of roads, railways, urban areas, sports fields, recreation areas, playgrounds, green areas, anywhere near school buildings, and areas adjacent to health facilities. In addition, the pre-harvest use of glyphosate as used as desiccant has now been completely banned. The desiccation of crops by spraying glyphosate is a primary source of residual pesticide contamination at the consumer level. Non-agricultural use of glyphosate is banned on soils composing of 80% or more of sand, and it's a protection for groundwater. This package of restrictions is significant as it marks one of the largest bans on both consumer and agriculture use of controversial glyphosate in history. Italy has become the second country now to confirm new restrictions on glyphosate, as Malta announced a full ban on the use of glyphosate herbicides in July. So these guys are completely and totally cut down on the use of glyphosate in their country. I hope they can keep it regulated and keep people from using it. But this is interesting. More and more, we're talking about this more and more, guys. More of these places, you know, more of these countries are waking up and people realize that we don't want this stuff around us. We don't want it around our kids. We don't want it in our food. We don't want it in our water. But for some reason, the United States just keeps allowing Monsanto to have a blank check and keep building and making all types of toxic seeds, GMO products, and more glyphosate, and wants people to use more of it. So I don't know when we're going to finally get some people to wake up in this country that are up in government areas. They're going to say the same thing Italy says. We don't want it. I mean, I understand it's difficult to get a full-blown 100% ban on glyphosate and make it actually effective, but doing what Italy has done now and completely restricting the use of it on any and all vulnerable groups or areas frequented by the public is a great start, especially also using it as a desiccant, which they use tons of on wheat here in the United States, which is one of the main reasons why almost all the wheat in the U.S. is contaminated with glyphosate, even though no forms of wheat are actually GMO usable on paper with Monsanto. They have not sold any GMO wheat, technically, but they use it on almost all the wheat to dry it out. So I think that's pretty interesting that Italy has done that. I hope it sticks and I hope it holds. We'll see what happens with them, though, Dad.
Well, the reality is that as consumers, we can make it go away immediately.
You know,
if we refuse to buy foods that have been coated in glyphosate, we refuse to eat stuff like that, we demand that people have organic certified organic labeling, glyphosate will go the way of the dinosaur. I mean, it's going to go away because no one's going to buy it anymore. They're not going to manufacture something that no one will use. That was the whole thing with not labeling GMOs. That was the whole thing of the Dark Act, too. That's what this whole thing was about. Because remember, Monsanto is one of the largest corporations in the world. It is controlled, basically, again, through the Rothschild banking cartel, through its interlocking corporate directorships. And it basically is poisoning the planet, and that's what they want it to do. You got to understand, and I covered this on Hagman 2 months, 3 weeks ago, where I did the last show. These folks don't consider us to be human beings. Because we're not the spawn of Lucifer like they are. They consider themselves to be different as far as their DNA. They consider us to be animals. A lot of them who are basically Sabbateans, they even call us Goyim, and they want us to basically, you know, be brought to the heel, you know, be controlled like livestock. And it's okay to poison us or inject us with who knows what. That's how they look at us. They're like a bunch of red ants running around that have to be destroyed. They're fire ants. They're going to bite you if you don't get rid of them first. And the thing about it is very, very insidious. This use of chemtrail spraying and cutting off the aquifer, reducing the rainfall. This isn't a 2 or 3 year protocol to do this. This is decades long now. And now it's finally starting to take effect, and they're starting to really have a massive, massive reduction of the rainfall and the aquifer replenishment here in the Northwest. That's what this whole thing's about. Montana is a huge, huge, huge wheat state, as is Idaho. People don't realize that. They all think it's in Kansas, but it's not. Huge, I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of acres we've gone by of wheat here in Montana. And Montana doesn't like glyphosate. You know, they don't want to use it up here. So the reality is, guys, it's all about the water. Cut the water back, cut the water back. I mean, I see streams now that should be really running pretty strong right now in the middle of summer, and they're not. They're like, they got rocks at the bottom, a little bit of water trickling over them. You're like, what the heck happened here? Same thing I saw in Glacier. You know, when you and I were at Glacier 7 years ago, Austin, I mean, it was like a roaring stream blowing all the way through Glacier. And now all of a sudden, it's like it barely has any water flowing. The streams and the beds are dried up. Sadly, this is what's going on all over the farm-producing areas. And, of course, they're spraying us now with these chemicals that we know what they do. The barium reduces the ability of your immune system to function. We know that. And the aluminum is directly absorbed through the olfactory gland into the brain, which causes Alzheimer's disease and senile dementia. Makes you stupid. So they make you stupid and sick, so you don't pay attention to what they're doing. That's what they do, stupid and sick. That's their big mantra. Where everybody needs to be stupid and sick, so they just let us poison them. And the thing that blows my mind is this burn technology they have. Just come in here and just burn and destroy everything. Who's going to be left? I mean, they only want to keep, I guess, a few hundred million of us alive to serve them as servants and as slaves, and the rest of it is going to burn and destroy. I mean, it's the same thing as Sherman did when marched to the sea. You know, just burn and destroy everything, and that way we can basically, you know, just continue on with things as they are. And so nobody understands that sooner or later somebody's got to come around and pick up the pieces, and they're not going to be any people left to buy anything. I mean, it's a fact that they're running and they own everything. Who's going to buy their stuff? Everybody's dead. So it's an interesting scenario to watch and to realize that these guys are really, really, really doing. By the way, here's an interesting one. Again, this is Veterans News. A veteran has killed himself in a VA parking lot after being denied treatment. He was reported seeking help for mental health issues at the Northport Veterans Affairs Medical Center, but was turned away and went out to his car and he shot himself. You know, the sad part about all of this, Austin, is this. You know, we don't care about the veterans in the United States. We really don't. I mean, think about this. In Vietnam, we were putting about 50 kilos, about 100 pounds of heroin underneath the bodies of the dead soldiers as they were being flown back in their caskets to the United States through the CIA, bringing in the drugs. I mean, they didn't care how many bodies they had. They didn't care they had 50,000 dead. That's 50,000 times 100 pounds of heroin they could bring in easily because nobody went through the caskets of the dead. And that's how they look at us. It's just the whole thing's sad. And so, you know, they don't care about the veterans. They don't care about anybody. They care about themselves. Back to what Jesus said. The love of money is the root of all evil. These guys are literally willing to sell their souls for stuff to Lucifer to control us and control this planet and to destroy what God has made, to turn everything upside down that God created to be received with, as a blessing. That's what they want. They want to destroy everything. It's sad. Oh, speaking of weirdos, Barney Frank, the boy who was having a call boy service run out of his house for the congressman to have little young men, I guess they were of legal age, barely, to be sodomized. it's in response to the Federal Reserve. Like Barney Frank is the bastion of normalcy for the United States now. He says to the Fed, don't raise taxes and rates before the election. Frank advised the Federal Board not to risk destabilizing the markets and perhaps the broader economy a few weeks before the election day. I think it would be a mistake to do it this close to the election, Frank told the Hill. What the Fed should do, they should do this, close to the election, make no waste, he added, unless there is something totally way off of the job chart. It is generally thought that a rate cut for election would be risky for Clinton, that's right, because that would crash the economy, and a third term for the Democrats in the White House. So that's where we are, so that's what Marty Frank says, the bastion of liberalism. Austin, what do you think?
Well, back to what you were saying with the veteran that committed suicide, that's so sad to me, because what we've tried to do is we try to give as much natural information out as we can to everybody. And listen, guys, all our listeners, if you guys got friends, family coming back from combat scenarios, guys that have come back from multiple deployments, you have to understand, A, the level of stress these guys are under is enormous, something that most of us will never experience in our life. Secondly, they're eating MREs, rations on a regular basis. Most of the chow that they're eating is garbage food. It's very depleted in nutrients and minerals, and they're not getting any type of high-quality nutrients out there, especially when they're in the sandbox. Thirdly, they're very, very tired. Their muscles, their body, everything is worn out and depleted from the excessive use, from rucking 80-pound, 90-pound stacks, doing everything they do over there. When they come back here, they're not deficient in Prozac or SSRI medication. These guys need to be on good base nutrient supplements. The three supplements we always work with people to really help out with mood and energy and just a better mental well-being are the 5-HTP, the B-complex, and the cod liver oil. Those three supplements right there do a tremendous job at helping out with overall brain chemistry, helping out with mood, helping out with focus, helping out with energy. And those are just the simple ones you can start with. There's a few other ones you can add in, but just getting friends or family that are coming back on something like that is so important, because a lot of these guys don't know where to turn. They're already having all these issues that they're dealing with from everything they experienced, they saw, and they basically had to engage in while they're over there. They need some good base nutrients to get back in their system, because remember, guys, B vitamins are water soluble. They do not store in your body. You basically flush them out. And if you're constantly sweating, you're constantly working, you're constantly in the heat, on top of that, most of these guys are extremely deficient in B vitamins, folate, B12, all that. So when they get over there, if you have friends, if you have family, the first thing you need to get them on is a basic supplement stack, like the 5-HTP, the cod, and the B-complex. That's literally like $60 in products. It's something that's very affordable, and a lot of times when these guys get on it, it really helps out their energy, it really helps out their mood, and they don't need to go to the VA. They don't need to go get on prescription medication. You know, could they need them at some point? Possibly. I'm not telling them they shouldn't. What I'm saying is the first thing they need to do when they get back is get the proper nutrients and B vitamins and omega-3s back in their system so they can really get their brain chemistry back under control, so they can figure out how to handle and cope with everything they dealt with over there. But I just wanted to say that because it's sad what we're seeing with all these suicides. It is completely unnecessary what's happening now. And a lot of it, in my opinion, is preventable with the right nutrients if you can get it back into their system when they get back home.
I agree, Austin. I also think they need to be taking in multiple vitamins because of the trace minerals. So,
yeah.
You know, give the ultimate multiple with that. And if you have four supplements stacked, that would be, less than $100. And you basically get everything you needed in your system in high enough concentrations to actually make a difference. And Austin's absolutely right when he said that when they come over here, they don't have a deficiency of Prozac or Zoloft or Xanax or anything else. What's happening is they're basically nutrient depleted and their brains aren't working properly. And when their brains don't work properly, you have a tendency to get really, really down and depressed. I know I've seen people one time, I knew a 17-year-old kid one time was doing really, really well, and he didn't take his supplements for a few months, and he ended up getting really depressed. The guy had the world by the tail on a downhill drag, started getting like super, super, super just negative, and started back on the supplements again, was fine in just a few days. If your brain doesn't have sufficient quantities of B vitamins, you can't think right. You certainly don't have enough energy. Your brain's not frosty. See, and that's the biggest problem that people have. They come over here, they're so nutrient depleted, they're so overwhelmed by what they saw, because the negativity of it all, you know, the shooting, the children, and the frag grenades, and all the stuff that we've heard them talk about to us, Austin, that they really don't know what to do except to go to the VA. That's why if you're one of their friends or a family member, tell them, hey, go to HealthPath. Get their healthy brain chemistry formula and try that. That really will help. Not that it's going to make those memories go away, but allow the brain the nutrients that the brain needs to help to combat the negative depression and the side effects from all of the horrible stuff, Austin, from these drugs they were put on while they were there. Plus, not to mention the plethora of immunizations they were given some when they went over to that combat theater.
Yeah.
I remember they told you, your recruiter told you when you were going into the Marine Corps as an officer, you declined your commission. You were trying to go in when Obama won the election. I remember he told you that they would give you in writing that you would have to take any immunizations as an officer, but you would not be allowed to be in an active combat theater. You'd be basically stateside your whole career. Now, the crazy thing about all of that is, I mean, how many people don't realize when they sign up how many immunizations they're going to get shot up with? So they're still telling what these immunizations do to the brain, to the brain chemistry. You know, a lot of these, they have sleeper viruses in them to get rid of these soldiers when they're 40 or 50 years old. We don't know what they're doing. They've done so many experiments on the military, on the GIs, the government issue. They're owned by the government, but they can pretty much do whatever they want to do. Look at the radiation experiments that were done back in the 40s and all of the different injections a lot of these guys took and just to see what would happen to them. I mean, some pretty crazy stuff going on, and that's our government doing that on record. So be careful, guys. By the way, the TTIP deal looks like it's dead. Free trade negotiations between the European Union and the United States have fallen apart in recent weeks, with Europe reticent to open its agricultural industry to the low-cost American glyphosate frankincense. A surprise, surprise. In addition to concerns over depletion of labor standards and worries that an unelected cabal from America, the Rothschild boys, also from England, will be able to dictate policy over the sovereign objections of participating countries. The deal began to fall apart beginning in May when France first threatened to block the deal. At the time, Francois Hollande said that he would never accept the deal because it abridges the sovereignty of France and the rest of Europe by disproportionately favoring U.S. agribusiness. They don't want to be poisoned by our food, guys. That's the bottom line. The deal has fallen under increased pressure in the wake of Britain's historic vote to exit the European Union. But guys, let me say something about Britain. They're not making any plans to exit the EU. I told you guys, if they ever did, it was going to be years down the road with all kinds of contingencies. The Rothschild boys aren't going to turn them loose like that. Remember, the Rothschild Bank controls the Bank of England, have done so since the 1700s with the Napoleonic Wars. And you can do your own research on that. So they're not just going to turn around and say, okay, England, you can trot away now, we're good with that. It's going to be a long, hard fight if they get out. And guys, here's what needs to be done. All of these guys need to be tried for treason, all of them. The Rothschilds, the Bushes, the Clintons, all of them. They need to be tried for treason in a court of law. And they need to be taken, if they're found guilty of treason against the United States, if you don't want to have them hung, which is entirely up to the person who's on the jury, send them to an island somewhere. They can let all the pedophiles and weirdos live together on an island. Dump food to them every once in a while, see what they can grow by themselves, and just let them have their own little commune of weirdness. I mean, this needs to stop. Letting these people come into our country and dictate our policies and tell us what we can do as far as bathrooms, and that we have to have men in bathrooms with little boys. This dog doesn't hunt with Grover here. I don't like any of that. These boys need to be sent somewhere else, and they can just go sodomize themselves to death as far as I'm concerned. I've had enough of it, Austin. I mean, it never seems to end with these guys. Every time you give them an inch, they want to take a mile. And they creep at you. They creep at you, like with the Dark Act, with Monsanto, with taking away our rights to sell vitamins and supplements. They keep coming back. They don't stop. When they have something in their craw they want to do to you, they don't stop. If it takes a year, 10 years, or 100 years, they continue to do their agenda until they force their agenda on a weak-willed and drugged-down population, which is what we have become now in the Western world. What do you think, son?
No, you're absolutely right. That's exactly what's going on. And then just the further that we see with the diet and the promotion of a lot of this with the foods, there's an article that just came out now from Virginia Tech studying the effects of health-compromising beverages, specifically sodas. And they were showing here that these extra calories that everybody's getting from highly sweet drinks with a high fructose corn syrup is a massive risk for obesity and type 2 diabetes. We already knew that. We've talked about it here significantly. But what's interesting is they found that just cutting out just one of those drinks a day reduces the amount of calories ingested by sugar, making more room for healthy drinks. They stated that we found that among U.S. adults who consume one serving of sweetened beverages per day, replacing that drink with water lowered the overall caloric intake throughout their day from 17 to 11% coming from drinks. And what most people don't realize, and this is why I've been such an adamant person against sodas, and I don't specifically have something against, you know, the Coca-Cola or PepsiCo. You know, they're a business, they're operating, but I think they could really produce much better quality products that really were healthier for the population. I think they really need to look into that. But you guys got to think about this, you know, why I talk about this so much. You know, a regular large Coke at the McDonald's or Wendy's or at the store, 26-ounce large Coke, has 310 calories in it. 310 calories. That's more calories than most people need for one meal for their entire day, and that's just a drink with 86 grams of sugar, and that sugar being derived purely from high fructose GMO corn syrup. So you have to really look, guys, at your diet, on what you're eating, what you're putting in your body. You know, the organic foods are great. The GMO foods are, you know, non-GMO foods are great. But getting sodas out of your life, getting them out of your house, they produce nothing positive whatsoever. There's not one single positive element of putting this garbage in your body and what it does to you. None whatsoever. That's why I always tell people, I say, swap it out for something different, man. Get a different drink. You know, there's all kinds of different natural drinks on the market now that you can drink that taste decent, and they're not full of high fructose corn syrup, and not to mention they're not full of almost 100 grams of sugar with 300 plus calories. And then people bring up the, well, I'll just drink the diet ones. And those are, if not worse, we've talked about that before, the aspartame and sucralose and what that does to your body. And that actually causes you to store more body fat as well. So I just wanted to bring that up again today for any of our new listeners, that if you're buying this stuff and bringing it to the house, just stop. Just stop. Don't allow it in your house. I was at Sam's the other day getting some organic bananas with Lana. And, you know, I walked by. This lady was checking out, and I was just walking by, and it caught my eye. And, you know, a lot of people go there to buy stuff for stores because it's a wholesale. But a lot of people go there to buy stuff just, you know, for businesses and for, you know, small-time food purchases they want for the house. And you could tell this lady wasn't buying anything for a store because those guys come in with two and three carts. She had like a cart, maybe half full, and it was literally probably, I don't know, two or three cases of different soda with two or three different cases of like different like chips and popcorn and stuff that she had bought off the shelf. And I was just looking at her, and I mean, and I wasn't, you know, being mean or judging her, but she was at least probably 350, 400 pounds, and her friend that was with her was the exact same size. And I'm just sitting there looking at all the empty calories that are sitting in her cart. I mean, literally not one single health-benefiting calorie in that entire cart. And then people wonder why their health is so bad. They wonder why they have to go to the doctor every month. They wonder why their kids are sick. They wonder why they have no energy. They wonder why they can't do all this stuff. Look at what you're putting in your body, guys. Just look at it. Read the ingredients. Do some research. These sodas are one of the easiest things to cut out of your diet. They are so easy. And I've seen so many people not even change their diet, just cut sodas out, and they immediately start losing 5, 10, 15, 20 pounds in a matter of weeks and months that fast. So that's my soda rant for today. I just had to bring that up because I saw that the other day and I saw that article, but just wanted to give you guys kind of a heads up to our new listeners on my stance on soda if you guys didn't already know so.
Well, sugar can be as addictive as cocaine to a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
It's a dopamine trigger. And that's why when people get off of sugar, in many cases, they go through withdrawals. I mean, they have serious,
yeah,
serious withdrawals when they get off of sugar. So the thing about it is that if you know you're probably addicted to this mess, just wean yourself off. When I was in graduate school at Florida State, I've told the story once or twice in the last year and a half, 2 years we've been on the air. When I was in graduate school at Florida State, I was drinking 18 cups of coffee a day. I actually worked for a corporation up there. His name was, I don't even know if it's in business anymore. It was called Quality Coffee Service. And my boss liked me, so he gave me a bun coffee maker that automatically made like the world's best tasting coffee. It really was a commercial maker that we had at home. Actually, it was in my apartment. And I wouldn't even talk to anybody until I had 4 or 5 cups of coffee. I couldn't wake up. And so what ended up happening at the age of 27, I came down with heart disease, almost died from it. in bed for 3 months, and I finally began to realize that I can't just do things that are addictive like that, like sugar or coffee or sodas. And I never was a big soda drinker because I was really into athletics and bodybuilding and track and field and that kind of stuff. So what's funny is I began to realize, even at the age of 27, that my body was not indestructible, and I had to make healthier choices. In fact, that's what precipitated me to go back to naturopathic school and to learn a lot of the things that I know now, because even as a researcher and trained in biochemistry at Florida State, a lot of the stuff that I learned was learned after my Florida State training, because I learned stuff that was practical. That's why when people come into the office, you know, I had some up to 40 patients a day, and they would be suffering from all kinds of problems. And we'd start working with them on their diets and their lifestyles and get huge results. So let me ask you a question. If you've got a problem with diabetes, and we put you on the healthy blood sugar protocol, the healthy blood sugar that we have, healthy blood sugar support protocol on our website, and all of a sudden you change your diet and you start feeling great again and your blood sugar goes back to normal, doesn't it make sense that you were taking the right supplements and eating the right foods to start with? You never would have come down with diabetes too to start with. This isn't rocket science. I mean, the whole key is you've got to choose what you want to do. You have to choose what you want to eat. And see, here's the thing. Every once in a while, I blow it. Like yesterday, we were looking at some real estate over here in Montana, and a lady made some fresh coffee cake for us. And she made it from scratch. And I had a bite. And I thought, wow, that's really good. So I had another bite. I thought, wow, that's really good. Before it's over with, I mean, like 6 pieces of coffee cake, right? It was ridiculous. I lost. And I thought to myself, oh, well, 1 meal bad, 2 meals bad, start back eating clean again today. And I did. Last night I ate clean the rest of the day. I still feel great today. Your body can do that every once in a while. Here's what it can't do. Coffee cake every meal with a soda. Okay, a pasteurized milk and coffee. You can't do that. Okay? Every once in a while, you can break your diet and eat something. Now, what I won't eat ever, knowingly, is pork, aspartame, trans fat, canola oil, soybean oil. Those are the ones I don't touch ever. Hydrogenated oils and or MSG, I stay away from that too. Those don't go in my body because they have really dire consequences to me almost immediately. I feel those by the next day. I get really sick and run down almost every time I use those types of products. But a little bit of sugar every once in a while, white sugar, not good for you, but it's not going to kill you. I mean, you know, the average American used to consume like 5 pounds of sugar per person per year in 1700. Now we consume like, you know, 200 pounds of sugar per person per year. It's crazy. That's why the obesity epidemic is so huge. It's like Austin said, look around you. Pay attention to what's happening. Look at people's carts. Ask them questions. Say, hey, look, you're really going to drink all those sodas? You know, this is really like devoid of nutrients. And then sometimes they'll start talking to you. Sometimes they'll tell you to shut up. Sometimes they'll ignore you. I've had this happen. And they won't even answer you. They look at you like, why are you speaking to me? Why have you addressed me? I don't know you. I don't see you. Go away. You know, I'm going to pretend like you're not there because I'm a liberal, okay? That's how they always act. But you can't confuse them with the truth. The sad part about it is that some people you can't help. Here's the good part. Here's the part I like. You guys, my listeners, the ones who have changed their lives because of Health Masters or because of our teaching or because you've heard other people speak about health and nutrition and you've learned that there are good alternatives and you're listening and you're not immunizing your children and you're eating the right foods and you're taking good high-quality supplements, and you're loving God and you're praying on a regular basis and you've changed your life and your kids are healthy and you're healthy and you're being blessed and you're feeling absolutely wonderful about life and yourself, that's what I like. See, that's the choice. You can go the way of the world, the way of Lucifer, because you think, let me ask you guys a question. You think that a fallen angel cares about your health? Do you think they care what you eat? The answer is, yeah, they actually do care. They want you to eat as much junk as they possibly can get into you to kill you, to make you ineffective as a witness for the body of Christ. It's very difficult for a sick, overweight, obese Christian to win a healthy, in fit, in shape sinner who eats clean to God. I'm just telling you the truth, because they look at your lifestyle and they say, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that. And that's how we have to think about this all the time. Remember when the herd, when Jesus was casting out those demons from the guy from the legion, and that all these demons were being cast out, he was going to send them into the pit. And they said, no, send us into the swine instead. Why did they request the swine? Because the swine is an unclean food. It's used in satanic rituals. It's eaten by Luciferians. It's unclean meat. It's full of parasites. I don't eat pork. Pork's bad. Don't touch it. Learn that in naturopathic school. Don't touch it. Don't even eat it. Just stay away from it. Also learn from the Word of God, the book of Genesis, not the book of Genesis, the book of Leviticus and the book of Deuteronomy. So guys, it's easy to feel good. It's easy to have great energy. But you gotta do it one step at a time. And if you blow your diet like I did yesterday morning, which I do on occasion, just forget about it. Next day, next meal, eat clean again. Eat clean again. If your body's in good shape, and it's in good shape physically and mentally and from a toxicity standpoint, it can handle a little bit of that stuff every once in a while. But don't make it a habit, and don't do it every day. What do you think, Oz?
No, you're absolutely right. And one thing I've called out before is, you know, and you need to do this as well, you know, listeners, if you guys have a pastor that you're sitting under, and he's obese, he's extremely overweight, and he eats junk all the time, and he drinks sodas all the time, you really need to question his leadership ability. Dad and I have talked about this numerous times, and this is something that a lot of people kind of overlook, is that they're under, you know, the watch of a pastor, that they're watching his teachings, and yet he's sick all the time. He's constantly having health problems. He's 300-400 pounds, can barely get up, can barely get in front of the pulpit, always having issues, always going out to eat, always drinking soda. Really, really address that and decide if that's who you want to be leading you at the front of the church. Because as far as I'm concerned, that's gluttony, and that's not taking care of the temple of God when you sit there and allow yourself to become that overweight. So that's just something else that I wanted to address there, because I've seen that happen, and Dad has as well, and that's not something you really want to be following and you want to be underneath, especially if somebody is that willing to allow themselves to get to that point without actually stopping and saying, man, is it a good idea to let myself get this out of hand? Do I really want to let my health get this poor? Sorry, guys, that's not something I'd be acceptable of.
Well, remember also the word book. Don't ye know that ye yourselves are God's temple and God's Spirit lives within you? And if you destroy God's temple, he will destroy you. Now, that's pretty direct. I mean, the way you destroy God's temple is you do what you want to do whenever you want to do it. Eat as much junk as you want to eat. You engage in reckless behavior on an ongoing basis. You do stupid stuff on a stupid basis. You know, like eating a full pizza every time you sit down with, you know, 2 liters of diet soda, regular soda, and thinking all that stuff's okay. You know, we have left churches before because we've had enough of pastors who are basically obese telling us how to live. I mean, I'm not going to deal with that. I mean, if they're not willing to take care of their own temple and do what they need to do to themselves and help themselves to do what's right, how in the world can they minister to you? And see, that same pastor is going to very, very rarely say anything to you about what's going on in the real world or tell you any truth about what's going on as far as in their life. They're not going to do that. Why? Because they don't want to be confronted with themselves. They don't want to have to think about their own life and what they're not doing. So I'm not going to get on a kicking parade, though, because pastors have a big life to live. But remember, your pastor really needs to be telling you the truth about what's going on in the world, about the globe, other countries, preaching from the pulpit. And if he's not, you need to have a sit-down talk with him, see what he believes. He may believe it's okay to be obese. He may believe it's okay to have immunization. He may believe all of these things are okay. Find out, talk to him and ask him, and then ask yourself another question. If he's not willing to answer the questions and talk to you about what he believes and what he thinks we should and shouldn't do in this end times, you really want to be giving money to that church and supporting that organization.
No, nope, not at all. Well, no? Well, guys, we appreciate it. You guys have a blessed night, and we'll be back again with you guys tomorrow. If you need anything, email us or call us at healthmasters.com. And, Dad, glad you're on with us today, and we'll be back on again tomorrow.
We love you guys. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.